Quincy woke up with tears on his cheeks. He lay in his bed for a long time, thinking of the strength of a 13-year-old girl, thinking of God and faith and the things he'd left behind after too many years on the job. A day after the last phone call, they found Candy Wallace's body, naked, bruised, and mutilated. 3 weeks after that, they arrested the man who did it, an unemployed handyman who had once worked on the air conditioning unit at the Wallace's home. He said Candy had insisted on telling him that God loved him, so he'd cut out her tongue. Quincy had thought that there was nothing they could do to this man that would ever be enough. He'd flown back to Virginia feeling isolated and worn to the bone. He'd entered his home, but walked away from his family because he'd never learned to go from a crime scene to the people he loved. At times like this, he couldn't look at his daughters without seeing all the horrors that could befall them. The handyman, the drifters, the charming law students. He couldn't look at his family without seeing pain and suffering and death. Now Quincy got out of bed. He called the hospital to learn that Amanda's condition hadn't changed. His ex-wife was asleep in the room if he wanted to speak with her. Quincy told the nurse not to wake her. His other daughter, Kimberly, wasn't at the hospital. She had probably returned to school. Like him, she seemed to have accepted that her sister was gone, a defection to Quincy's camp that Bethy couldn't bear. Of course, things between his ex-wife and their younger daughter had been tense ever since last year, when Kimberly had announced she was studying sociology at New York University. Someday, she wanted to be a profiler with the FBI, just like her dad. Quincy pulled on an old pair of running shorts and a gray FBI t-shirt. He hit the street, inhaling sharply at the cold sting of morning. Then he was off and running, still thinking of a young girl's dying screams and unfailing love, still thinking of his own daughter and the tragedy he hadn't protected her from after all those years of trying to make the world a safe place. And then he was thinking of Rainey and her shadowed gray eyes and strong, stubborn chin, the way she took her punches, the way she still got up for the fight. Once, he'd made the mistake of thinking that isolation was protection, that focusing solely on his work would make a difference for people, for his family. He had listened to a young girl die, but he hadn't heard what she was saying. Quincy was old, but he was learning. He ran for a long time, with the mountain air cool and clean against his cheeks. He greeted a beautiful morning in a lush coastal valley, and he understood why Rainey Connor still lived here perfectly.